The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Neural sleeve improves mobility, reduces pain and depression. Psionic. Psionic's leg-worn neural sleeve, recently authorized in the U.S. to aid walking in people with multiple sclerosis and other conditions that impair mobility, reduced foot drop in a small clinical trial. Patients in the trial also reported marked reductions in pain and mental health problems, according to Psionic. These findings, announced in a blog post from the company, have not yet undergone peer review. Data on physical outcomes are available in a preprint titled Augmenting Gait in a Population, Exhibiting Foot Drop with Adaptive Functional Electrical Stimulation. Psionic's neural sleeve is designed to be worn around the leg. It senses movements during walking and provides electrical stimulations to muscles, which can help to ease walking difficulty due to leg muscle weakness or foot drop, which is when the front of the foot does not lift up when taking a step. The device was cleared by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in March. A research team led by scientists at Psionic evaluated 32 people with foot drop due to neurological conditions. 8 of the participants had MS, while 20 had experienced a stroke, and 2 had a spinal cord injury. 1 had cerebral palsy, and 1 had foot drop of unknown cause. The participants underwent assessments of walking dynamics, one while wearing the neural sleeve and another without the assistive device. Results showed the angle of the ankle when the heel hits the ground increased by 5.2 degrees on average when patients wore the neural sleeve. An increase in this measure suggests patients could more easily raise their toes above the ground. In total, 93.8% of patients experienced at least some increase, and the average increase was greater than the minimum change that would be considered clinically significant, 4.9 degrees. Inversion, or turning up, of the foot also was reduced by 3.6 degrees on average when patients wore the neural sleeve. We demonstrated statistically significant improved gait in 32 participants exhibiting symptoms of foot drop due to neurological disorders. On average, these participants showed a 5.2 degree increase in dorsiflexion at heel strike and a 3.6 degree reduction in ankle inversion during swing phase. Together, this brings the ankle into a more stable, neutral position, which is associated with decreased fall risk, the researchers concluded. In addition to the objective gait analyses, Psionic also administered questionnaires to patients who use the device, assessing their experiences with the neural sleeve across 5 domains: mobility, self-care, activities of daily living, pain, and anxiety-depression. These data were not included in the preprint. According to Psionic, after 8 weeks of using the neural sleeve, mobility scores improved by 30% on average. In addition, the number of patients reporting moderate to severe pain reduced by 60%, and the number reporting moderate to severe anxiety or depression dropped by 75%. We were expecting to see gains in mobility, and we did. What really surprised us was the dramatic reduction to pain and anxiety, which was reported, the company stated in the blog post. In these results, we can see exactly why mobility is the most important measure of human health and how helping users achieve greater independence of movement can lead to so much more. This news article was written by Marissa Wexler, MS, on June 20, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. Through the Looking Glass, a column by Beth Ulla, published on June 22, 2022. Grappling with sensory overload that can come with MS. Imagine this scene. There's a rowdy crowd of nearly 40,000 people in a rugby stadium, with music blaring over the tannoy speakers. Newfound numbness spreads throughout the majority of your body, and on top of that, you can hardly see. That was the perfect myriad of factors to elicit my first episode of sensory overload. I've had 2 major episodes since then. When the rugby scene happened, I'd been diagnosed for a matter of months with relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis, and my emotions were still ablaze, with this new reality. My husband, an avid rugby fan, persuaded me to go to a rugby tournament with him. I reluctantly agreed, not being a sports fan in the slightest, but stubbornly refusing to let MS dictate what I could and couldn't do. These days, 5 years down the line, my daily symptoms, like sensory changes and numbness in most of my body, have become an intrinsic part of my reality. But back then, I wasn't used to it. I was unable to wear an underwire bra because the extra pressure around my ribcage just added to the discomfort of an unusual situation. Looking back, I didn't even realize the extent of what was happening. It was new. My body didn't feel like my own. My mind couldn't keep up with the hurricane that was ravaging my body. The constant fluctuations were overwhelming. Add optic neuritis, a vision problem that affects about 50% of those with MS, to the mix. And I felt like I was underwater, unable to interact with the world. It was as though I was enclosed in a bubble wrap. So there I was, sitting in a loud, noisy stadium, unable to see properly, and unable to feel the chair I was sitting on. The onslaught of sounds pounding my nervous system, alongside my lack of sensation and vision, sent my body into overdrive. I felt as physically isolated from the world around me as I'd been feeling emotionally since my diagnosis. I'd had panic attacks before, which involved tears and hyperventilation, but my body's reaction to this attack, on my senses, took it to a whole new level. I fled to the women's bathroom, knocking into walls and people in my panic. I was crying without realizing that I was crying. I noticed my face was wet and wondered why. I couldn't breathe. I collapsed on the floor without a care that it wasn't clean. That's where my memory stops before it picks up again, after the game ended, when we were walking to meet our Lyft home. It's not a coincidence that this 10-minute staggered walk was a catalyst for my realization that my mobility was beginning to decline and I needed an aid. I think the intensity of this attack was because my senses, particularly my lack of vision, left me feeling so estranged from the world. Despite the thousands of people there, I felt the loneliest I'd ever felt in my life. My second attack occurred in October 2019, a little more than 2 years later, and on the first night of the Shift MS Sessions, an educational and social weekend in Bucharest, Romania, uniting young people with MS from around Europe. I was a new wheelchair user, and it was my first time traveling abroad as such. Aside from the fierce emotion surrounding this, I hadn't socialized much in the previous 18 months due to my Lemtrada treatment and simultaneous paralyzing relapse, so I was anxious about being around a large group of people I didn't know. In this case, all the anxieties and emotions stacked up as I wheeled into the banquet room for the welcome banquet. The chatter, the noise of the band, and the heat of the room all triggered another sensory overload episode, which led me straight back to my room. If I'm unable to remove myself from a situation when it's getting to be too much, I've learned one way to ground myself. I get centered by focusing on my senses. I count all the things I can see, hear, smell, touch, and taste, individually and out loud. I look at sensory overload as an occupational hazard of MS. These experiences and situations triggered my sensory overload attacks, and they were necessary for me to learn what exactly triggers me. While it can be confusing, since my triggers change from my fluctuating symptoms, the attacks are something I know I needed to experience. Putting myself in these situations not only teaches me my limits, but it means I'm living. That's something I won't let MS take away from me. To read more columns by Beth Ulla and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums. A trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.